Okay, good evening everyone. We're going to be learning the Mitzvah of Tefillah, Mitzvah Tuf Lamed Gimel. So, Mitzvah of Tefillah. So, La'avod es Hashem. The Mitzvah says La'avod es Hashem. The Chinuch says, very little Mitzvah Chinuch on this. La'avod es Hashem, to serve Hashem. Shenema osu tavod. To him you shall serve. You got it? Tuf Lamed Gimel.
It goes from
no, it's on the other side. On the other side. Tuf Lamed Gimel. You got it?
I'm trying to tell you that it goes from Tuf Lamed Beis over here to Tuf Lamed Dalet. And I don't see no Tuf Lamed Gimel.
So, Jesse, look on the middle over there. Tuf Lamed, wherever it does it. So, the other side. The other side. The right side. Right there, bottom. Tuf Lamed Gimel.
Oh, right. I didn't see how. Right. Okay. Sorry.
It's also Savos. V'nichbol azosa mitzvah kama pom. This mitzvah was repeated many times about serving Hashem. Now the rule is, if the Torah repeats something many times, that means, and you got to put a lot of emphasis on it. You know, like when a parent tells a child, don't go close to the fire. The parent might not just tell him once, or tell him twice, as many times as necessary. Whenever something very important, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget, right? You repeat yourself, something's important. It's extra important. Everything's important in the Torah, but sometimes the Torah wants to put emphasis on certain things. Osa Savod. Him you shall serve. Shenema, it says, and it doesn't always say the same exact language. It can have different shades of it. It says, Osa Savod. Shenema v'vadtem es Hashem alokeichem sheshev Hashem. It's all the same idea. Him you shall serve. There's a mitzvah, there's an idea, there's a mitzvah in Torah to serve Hashem. Very famous pasuk. To serve him with all your heart.
Now, but if we're asking for our needs...
What was that?
If we're at this in Davening, we see two distinct things. We see one is asking for our needs, and one is praising Hashem. Is asking for our needs considered a avodah?
Is asking for our needs considered a avodah? Okay, so we'll see when he'll define tefillah, and we'll get a picture of it. Cause of Aram, by understanding when you're asking for your needs, that you're recognizing God's power. So that's a form of service. You recognize it. Because of Rambam, Zichron Levracha. Afalpi, she mitzvah zu he mitzvah hakol los. It's a general mitzvah. What's the general mitzvah? Kloima, she kol los kol haTorah. It includes all the Torah. Tiavoda sakel tichlo kol haMitzvos. Serving Hashem is a general idea. For serve Hashem, all mitzvahs that applies to all. How do you serve Hashem? When you say Berachas HaMazon, when you honor your parents, when you keep Shabbos, it's all part of serving Hashem. So when the Torah said, serve Hashem, what is it? There's a generalization. You have to serve Hashem. Keeping all the mitzvot is a form of serving Hashem. But even though this idea of serving Hashem manifests itself by all mitzvot, but Yesh Bezu, Smoke came prat. There's also here a specific focus on a specific mitzvah as well. It's referred to in this wording of the pasuk. Vehu sheyesivanu hakel lispalalelo. God has commanded us to daven for him. Not that you just daven to Hashem because you need something, you'll daven. You don't need something, you won't daven. Things are going good, you might think not to daven. No. You have to go ahead, and you must daven, even though you think things are good. You have to realize who's providing you all those things that are good for you. You have to constantly remember that you have to daven. You're obligated to daven. Come on, she'omru b'sifri, u'lo'avdo b'chol avavchem. Then the sifri, you have to serve with all your heart. Eizi avoda shebelev. What's an avoda in the heart? Zu tefillah. That's davening. Mishnosa Sharabaleza Benosha Vyusek Lili Amru Nayan Hikat Fila Besoch HaMitzvos. How do we feel different? How do we know that Ikar Tefillah is included in the mitzvot? Mehacha. From another pasuk, it said, also, et Hashem alakecha tira, you have to fear Hashem, also tavo, and Him you shall serve. So from there we see that he says, that Rabbi Loza Vosekalili says, also tavo refers to prayer. Prayer is a certain way of, it's what the Torah is focusing on that you have to do. Yishoshiha mitzvah, the root behind the mitzvah, mashik damti habi pom, what I said many times. Ki ha tovos v'habrochos yechulu al bnei odom kafi pulosa. Blessings, good things, will go upon a person. A person will receive good things according to what he does. He has to do something to earn it. You have heard the expression, you have to be in it to win it. You have to do something that Hashem should want to give you. Something Hashem wants to give you. Hashem says, this is your lottery ticket. And you got winning numbers. I'm giving you winning numbers. I'm giving you an advance that if you go, if you play, if you tell you these are winning numbers, you're going to win. But you got to pick the numbers. And really, you got to do it right. You got to pick the right numbers. You got to do what you got to. I'm giving you the formula, but you got to. It's like I'm giving you a formula, but you got to mix it right. You got to do it right. So Hashem says, if you earn it, you daven properly. That's the formula. You daven properly, I'm going to give you something back. If your actions are good, your heart is good, your thoughts are good, Hashem says, I'm going to repay you. And the master of all, Shabbaram, he wants for our benefit. And he's guided us, and he's made us successful. If we follow his mitzvot, his precious mitzvot, you do the mitzvot, you're going to get good. And besides that, Hashem has given us mitzvot. Hashem chofet l'man sitcho yagdil Torah v'yadir. Hashem is doing this for our benefit. And he's given us all the mitzvahs for us, it's not for him. We do mitzvahs. Hashem needs us to do mitzvahs, it's for our benefit. It's not for us, for him. If we do mitzvahs, we become a better person. We're a different person. We'll get reward for it.
And we say that every time we take out the Torah line, it's the ideal Torah for the
idea. Vahodiyam gam king, v'pasach lahem pesach. And he also told them, and he gave them an entranceway. You want to get everything you want? I give you the formula. This is the winning numbers. What are the winning numbers? You have to ask from Hashem. Request from Hashem. Pray to Hashem. He has the ability. He could fulfill whatever you're missing. He will make the heavens follow. He will direct the heavens for rain, so on. Whatever you call them, as long as you call the MS. So that's our job. Our job is, God says, listen, you call out to me, I'm going to provide for you. But you got to call out. Hello, Rabbi Blank. Welcome. If you want to look in with anyone. Movad haldor, don't you can look at me too. Movad haldor, lahem besos hamida. Besides letting the people know about this, sivam sheyishtam shuba v'yivakshu mimenu. Meaning, besides the fact that Hashem is going to, you know, if you cry out to him, you're gonna be rewarded, you're gonna get what you want, Hashem's gonna help you, he's gonna answer your prayers. Sivu Shiishkamsham, Sivum Shiishkamsha Bhavi Vakshum and Atomit Khosachem Khokhav Saliba. He's commanded that you should use it. Use this, use these winning numbers. At the winning ticket. Keep on using the winning ticket. It's the winning ticket. What's the winning ticket happening at the winning ticket? and you'll ask from him tamid, constantly all your needs, and whatever you want. Mavan hasogas chefse libenu. Now the chinuch says is that besides that we're going to be able to be rewarded things that we want, that we need, yish l'neschus v'davar. There's another merit that we get. What's the other merit? By the fact that we recognize and we focus that Hashem is the master of all good, and he is the one who could do the good for us. That means we're recognizing God. We're recognizing it's amuna, it's faith in God. It's belief in God. It's bitachon. So it becomes a very spiritual experience that davening is not only when a person davens, the only thing is it's a question of God, please, I'm answer what I need. At the same time, a person is recognizing who God is, and that is a very important thing. It's a very important thing when a person could recognize who God is and have that faith. That God is the all powerful one.
Say it's probably not what they say.
Say it.
Hashem. How you praying to Hashem? Hashem recognizing
Hashem. Right, you're recognizing Hashem. Chi eino pikuchos akol trechino. God is watching all our actions. V'chol eis, v'chol rega, yishma sakaseinu elov. At all times he will listen to our cries. Say, lo yonam v'lo yishan shom yisel. Hashem doesn't sleep. We have total belief in his kingdom without any question. Nothing could stop God from what he wants to be done. What God wants to be done. So therefore, it becomes an experience of emunah, of faith. What do they say?
Is that what emunah means?
Faith. They say there's no atheist in a foxhole. What does that mean? When there's a foxhole, when he's praying, you understand why is he praying? He's saying, "Listen, I need help," and he's recognized he's not just saying, "I want to be saved." He's at the same time recognizing that God is the one who could save him. So every time you dive into Hashem, you're making a statement. Every Jew who comes to shul, or every Jew who says a prayer, he's recognizing God's ability. Ulam, ein lanu b'Torah b'zos ha-mitzvah zman kavua la'asosa. In the Torah, does not give a specific time when to say the prayer. It says, according to the Rambam, u'l'avdo l'lacho l'vavchem, serving with all your heart, that's tefillah. Doesn't say a specific time. When should you serve? When should you daven to him? Technically, so you don't need to. Do you need to daven to him every day? The Rambam says once a day. He says because it's not clear when do you have to daven. Nekim esafkin rabbi say the opinion. There is a question among our great rabbis regarding this. Harambam kosher v'chibura hagadol. The Rambam writes. Once a day. There's a biblical obligation to pray once a day. That's what the Rambam says. The Ramban argues. Tough as a love. The Omar Shahatora lo sifoseinu lispala b'choyom v'gam lo ocho shavua v'lo tiyach es amedah v'klal.
Did that woman too?
What'd you say? The Ramban says, women too. According to the Rambam, it's women too also, once a day to daven. The Ramban says, the Torah did not command us to daven every day, not every week. There's no specific time for davening. The Torah doesn't say a specific time for davening. The Talmud, Yom Zichron Levracha, and he brings it, the Chacham say, Tefillah is the Rabbanah. Tefillah is the Rabbanah. Tefillah is Rabbinic.
What about the Shema? It sort of has specified times.
Shema is right, but Shema is not a prayer. Shema is a recognition of Hashem as one. That has specific times, by day and by night. But a prayer where you're asking for something for yourself, a need, is not, according to the Ramban, is not, the Torah never obligates you to do that. And I think the Ramban learns, he takes the b'chol of Afram, you have to serve Hashem with all your heart. If you do, if, all the mitzvahs, everything you do, you got to do with all your heart. It's not talking about, it's not talking about davening, prayer. You gotta, when you do something, that's how I think the Ramban with Lerm Shat.
So Shema is not sort of like a proclamation also. Recognition of proclamation.
It's a recognition of Hashem, that Hashem is one, but it's not, you're not asking for it. It's not a tefillah.
No, it's a proclamation.
It's a proclamation, but not a request. The Ku Kamisafik Yoma, the Ramban says, see, the Ramban himself is not clear. It's prayer. Is there ever a time that you have to pray Minat Torah? Is there ever a biblical obligation for prayer? According to the Rambam, every day there's a biblical obligation to prayer. According to the Ramban, he says possibly there's never an obligation to pray. And then he says possibly at a time when a person is in great need, then maybe at that time, hello, Avi, welcome. Who can misafik yom Hashem, Hashem mitzvi l'spal l'zuk l'fonav l'fnei akel baruch of v'eis hatsara. At a difficult time, when there's a difficult time, we're talking about making davening with kavana. So we're talking about brachas b'kavana, so you have opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look in with David, because that's
thanks.
So the Ramban suggests that maybe the mitzvah to pray would be specifically at a special time of need. A person has a difficulty, or he needs something special. Difficult time, then there's an obligation to pray. But besides that, the Ramban says, there's no biblical obligation. Of course, there's a rabbinic obligation to pray. The only question here is there a biblical obligation to pray every day or not? The Ramban says there's no biblical obligation to pray. You want to pray? You need something? You want to pray? The Torah says, gives you, God allows you to pray, and he gives you, and he said, you pray to me, I will answer. But am I obligating you to have to pray and ask for something? The Rambam says yes. Hashem is saying, I'm obligating you to pray. I'm interested. What? The Rambam says, love the b'chol of avchem. With all your heart. You daven with all your heart. That's the, you pray, you serve with all your heart. That's davening. Now, gam ha-Rambam kos, the asma kos of the Rambam himself kos, of she'ein binyin ha-tfilos, v'matvei ha-tfilo min ha-Torah. The Rambam himself says, how many times you have to pray is not Minat Torah, and the text of prayer is not Minat Torah. You want to pray in English, that the Gemara says in Sota, any language, any. Technically, the Rambam says, what's the formula, biblical formula of prayer? Asking for something and recognizing Hashem's, who Hashem is. That's how he's quoting the Rambam. We have to see the language of the Rambam inside. He's going to say, what does he say? There's no official text. Is there a biblical formula how you have to pray? No. There's no set time. Anytime. You have to beseech, ask God something. You have to ask him for something every day. A request. And a recognition to him. Kikol ha'mshela elof. He has all the power. Like we say a melech ha'olam. He has he has the ability to fulfill whatever you ask. That's now. I want to look up the Rambam's language inside, because a lot of time I recall that something is also, you know, the formula Shemoneh Esrei goes with praise. The first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei talk about praise of Hashem. The middle talk about asking for something, and the end is the thank you and the recognition and the thank you. We have to see how what the Rambam says. The biblical, here he's only quoting, there's two things Minat Torah. You have to have two things to fulfill the prayer Minat Torah: a request and recognition of God's ability to answer your request. Minadoma. That's the only thing you need in Torah. A person is in a place of danger and he can't pray, be able to focus on all the all the brachas of shmereseh, v'ini yochel amam acham tefila, he's in a place of sakana, he's in danger, he's wartime or whatever it is. It's a short prayer that the Gemara says. He could substitute a different prayer. Because there is no... Because there's no biblical text of prayer. Just a little, you just have to follow, you know, that basic formula. So therefore, the Rabbanu would say it's not necessary in a place of sakana to say the full formula. You could say an abridged version. Now, if we look at the Minchas Chinuch, he says, "La'avur es Hashem Yisbarach l'spalu l'fanuf hevi arava machavet as Rambam." Means the Rambam, the tefillah min haTorah b'chol yom. It's a mitzvah every day. Ach ein minyan atfilas minutzach atfilas min haTorah. The number of tefillas is not min haTorah. Text is not minatorah, but is a tefillah she is stalei yotzeich wasn't. Anyway, you daven, you fulfill your obligation minatorah. Therefore, when the Mishnah says in brachas, women are also chayiv in tefillah. We're also chayiv in tefillah. So we once discussed this issue before, but it could be some might want to say that the ladies rely on the biblical obligation. A lot of ladies don't daven Shmoneh Esrei and Mincha. Shachas and Mincha. Maybe the Beis Yaakov girls today maybe do. But a lot of the old European ladies did not do that.
Right.
They said a request, they said their own formula of a prayer, and that's how they fulfilled at least the biblical obligation. And some might say that maybe, some might suggest the Chachamim never obligated the ladies to daven the formula that we have, the Shmoneh Esrei formula that we have, the rabbinic obligation. That's what some would say. Ramban sova de chol atfilah rak. The Rabban in the Minchas Chinuch says, rak beis sora mitzdafik to efshem. Maybe when it's a difficult time, it's possibly min haTorah. I am Rambam, and then he says, look at the Rambam. Perak aleph bechol meir chol tefilah locha aleph kesa mishnah. Richu mitzah shivshonim vachrona ishashu shagas arim ein lach mashva. But they went into. He says, I don't have to go into what they went into. Chol ishim chay min haTorah. So Minchas Chinuch says everyone's chayiv, even women and avodim. Mitzvah Seder doesn't have a set time. All the time, it applies any time to pray to Hashem. The cheresh shayt to the katan as pata. A person who's a cheresh can't hear his pata, and his person is a katan, his pata, a minor, is not chayiv to pray min haTorah. We train a child to pray, obviously, when he's young, that he should. We train the child, but not biblically, he's not obligated. Now, if we skip a little bit, see, first I'll just speak out a little bit. The Chinuch says a person is obligated to pray three times a day, right? And the Chachamim instituted three times connected corresponding to the Korbanos. So you had a Korban in the morning, Korban Mincha in the afternoon, and at night the limbs would burn on the Mizbeach. So correspond to that, we have Mayruf. Then he says on Shabbos, he stood an extra tefillah, we call it Musaf, because of the extra carbon that was brought on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and so on. That's why it's called Musaf. It's an addition. And then he says, that who formalized the text? Ezra and his Bezdin. Ezra and his Bezdin were around the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the great assembly of 120 great tzaddikim. Some of them were Nevi'im. Haggai and Zechariah from the last of Nevi'im were there, and they instituted, they formulated a text for world Jewry. Everyone will be united wherever you go. Everyone will be davening the same prayers. The basic Shmoneh Esrei is the same, just a little bit here and there. Interesting, he says, that the Chinuch says, and he that he quotes the Gemara, that the Gemara, the Chachamim did not want to be matriach the people on Shabbos. Shabbos, therefore the Shmoneh Esrei is shorter. You don't have the 18, 19 brachas, you only have the 7 brachas of Shabbos, and not to be matriach, to make it easier for the people. Now, the Chinuch then says a very interesting point. He says, we find that the Chachamim tell us about Kavonas Aleif Harbi, that You have to have a lot of kavana. You have to have a lot of intent when you daven. And he says more in the first bracha. The Gemara says the bracha from Daf Lamed Amud Beis. If you don't have a mind, you will keep and leave over. If you don't have a mind, the first bracha, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Not fulfill your obligation. And he says, what is this kavana that we're referring to? What is this intent that we're referring to? So he says, is that a person has to recognize and remember and think while he's davening that he's davening, he's in front of God. He's in front of God and he's calling out to God. Not that he's somewhere else. And he has to turn his thoughts from all other thoughts in the world. Monday Night Football is not on his mind. When he's davening, he's not thinking about the Jeter and all the Mishigasim that the people are talking about, right? And he should turn his mashava from all of the mashavas in the world, and he should focus on this. That is the kavana that the chinuch says that you would have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. If in the first brach of Shemoneh Esrei you would not, you did not have this kavana, you did not remember that you were in front of God, you weren't realizing that you were talking to Hashem, and you're supposed to, and he says, and you're supposed to turn all your thoughts and focus on this. Now, Rav Chaim, there's a famous Rav Chaim, this Rav Chaim Briska, and he says a little different than the Chinuch, because he says, he has a stira, an apparent conviction in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, any tefillah that does not have kavona is not a tefillah. If a tefillah doesn't have kavona, it's not a davening. If you have davening without kavona, you have to repeat the davening with kavona. The Rambam says, if you found that your mind was unfocused, you know, you were very upset, you know, about something. Something was really on your mind, and you got a bad grade. The professor didn't give you a good grade, and you're all upset about that. So, so you can't daven, the Rambam says. You have to wait. You have to wait until you calm down. Someone heard something that really bothered him. He's not allowed to daven, the Rambam says. You have to wait, calm it down, get your mind back and focus, then you should daven.
So how come they daven so fast? How come all of the minyanim daven very fast? You know, it's like very, very, you know, they don't wait for anything. They just go straight ahead.
Right, so, very calm.
Right. So hopefully, the question is, when the people are coming to shul, are they focused on the davening fast? The question is, are they focused on what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not focused on what they're saying?
Uh-huh. Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, there is a halacha. You're supposed to daven to Hashem like a poor person is asking for something.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I don't understand. If a person goes, is that the way a poor person would ask for something? You know, he's like, please, can I have a dollar? Can I please have a dollar? That's how you're supposed to daven, right? Like you're saying, Avi, you're supposed to daven a little slower.
The guys on the street will get your money.
They're a little more
kavana.
More kavana. See, that's right. So this is something that we have to work on. So we have to encourage people who daven for the Amid, you know, to tell them, you know, this, you know.
A little slower, a little less.
Right. Right. See, I don't know if the question is, it's two things, it's slower and with the kavana.
Yeah.
Usually it goes hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
So he asked the question that here the Rambam says any tefillah which is without kavana is not a tefillah. And if you daven without kavana, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. It would sound like the Rambam is talking about the whole Shemoneh Esrei. The Rambam says that. And here, the Rambam says in somewhere else, the Perek Yud, if a guy daven, didn't have kavana with his heart, the Rambam says you have to daven again, and if you had a mind in the first bracha, that's, you don't need to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So one place the Rambam says that kavana, not having right kavana,
would only hold you back if you didn't have kavan in the first bracha. But as long as you had kavan in the first bracha, even though you were supposed to have in all the brachas, what I say, but you don't have to repeat. As long as you had in the first bracha. And then the Rambam somewhere else says that if you don't have kavanah, it's not a tefillah. So let me ask you a question. If you didn't have kavanah in the first bracha, Shmona Esrei. Well, let's say you had kavanah in the first bracha. But you didn't have kavanah bracha 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like, you don't, it's like the Rambam said it's not a tefillah. So it's like you're missing bracha number 2, bracha number 3, bracha number 4. So how does the Rambam say in one place, if you daven without kavanah, it only if you're missing kavanah in the first bracha, then you're lost, then you have to repeat. But if you had kavanah in the first, you could keep on. You're still if your prayer is accepted, so you don't have to repeat. When the Rambam somewhere else seems to indicate, if you don't have, you need kavanah. What?
This is the basic lady asked that.
Reb Chaim asked the question.
Yeah, Reb Chaim.
This is it. This is Reb Chaim's question to the Rambam. And therefore the Reb Chaim says there's two dine kavanah. Reb Chaim says there's two types of kavanah in prayer. It's a very famous Reb Chaim. One is understanding the meaning of the words of the prayer. And two is to recognize that you're davening and you're standing in front of Hashem. Which we saw the Chinuch discusses this idea that when you're davening, you have to know and recognize you're talking to Hashem in front of Hashem. So the Rambam, so he says like this. It's having in mind that you're davening in front of Hashem. It's not a halacha in kavanah. It's part of the essence of prayer. If you don't know you're davening in front of Hashem, if you're not focused that you're in front of Hashem, that's not davening. What are you doing? You're moving your mouth. It's like a tape recorder moving.
It's a mechanical thing.
It's not a prayer. If you don't recognize you're in front of Hashem, where you think you are? You think you're up in the moon? You think you're in your house? You're in the kitchen, you're at the ball game, and when you're davening, if you think that's where you're not in front of Hashem, then that's not a tefillah at all. And therefore the Chaim says that would be ma'akev in the whole tefillah. You would miss out on the whole Shmona Esrei. Any part of Shmona Esrei, you don't focus that you're in front of Hashem. It's like you're missing that part of the davening. It's like that part was erased and you didn't daven that. So you're missing, you can be missing a bracha from Shema Esrei. You're in bad shape. Now. And he says, and etzem ha-tefillah, you have to daven all 19 brachas. You're missing one bracha. You're not the tefillah. That's how Reb Chaim says.
So you should go back for that tefillah. You should go back for that.
Technically, the way if you would take Reb Chaim literally, it would sound that way.
We don't see as if like that.
We don't go like Reb Chaim. Yes.
Well, it's the second time around, you might do the same thing.
Right. But I think also, we disagree with the, we don't go with Reb Chaim's understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It means to say,
the Rambam.
I think we go with not like Reb Chaim and not like the Chinuch. There's a third approach. The Chinuch says that Kavanah, when does the Gemara say that Kavanah, if you don't have a mind in the first bracha, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei, if you didn't recognize you're in front of Hashem. If you didn't focus that you're in front of Hashem in the first bracha, then you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. According to the Chinuch, if let's say you didn't know what the words mean, you don't know the translation of prayer. You're a person who never went to, yeshiva, and he doesn't know what the prayer means, but he knows he's praying to God. According to the Chinuch, it sounds like he fulfilled his mitzvah, even though he didn't know a translation of one word. According to the Sefer Chinuch, but you knew you're praying to God, you gave it your heart, you don't know what you're saying, you don't understand Hebrew, you never had an art scroll, you're pre-art scroll, and you didn't go to yeshiva, and you don't know if the So according to the Chinuch, you fulfilled your mitzvah. You prayed, you know you're asking for something, you don't know what you were saying. You prayed, you fulfilled your mitzvah. And because the only thing he says, from the Chinuch, the only time you would not fulfill your mitzvah with prayer, if you didn't know, if you didn't focus in the first bracha that you're praying to God. But as long as you focus that you're praying to God, it doesn't sound like you have a problem even if you didn't know the translation. But according to the Reb Chaim is going to say that when does the Gemara say you have to, that the first bracha is of utmost importance? If you're going to the translation of the words. And in that respect, we'll agree to Reb Chaim that if you did not know the translation of the words of the first bracha, technically that's where the Gemara is referring to, that it's not a good prayer. But technically you should go back. If you did not know, if you didn't focus in, if you don't want a chavin libo, if you didn't focus on what you were saying in the first bracha to re-know what you were saying. Let's say you said words, if you said words and you didn't know what you were saying because you weren't focusing, you didn't know the meaning, or you didn't focus on what you were saying. You said Baruch Atah, you didn't even think what you were saying at all. So that, we would hold that, we would go not like the chinuch. We would say, if you didn't know what you were saying in the first bracha, you didn't know the meaning of the words, it's not a good prayer. Reb Chaim said, not only that, Reb Chaim said, if you didn't focus in at any part, any bracha of Shemar Esrei, you didn't focus that you were praying in front of Hashem, then you, that would ruin the whole prayer. That far I don't think we will say. I think that far we won't say. Again, Reb Chaim says there's two types of kavanah. There's the kavanah of the Pirush HaMilos, the translation of the words, knowing the meaning, and that's essential, most essential in the first bracha of Shemar Esrei, of focusing on the meaning of the words. You should know the meaning in the whole Shemar Esrei, but the first is most essential. The other point Reb Chaim says is that knowing that you're in front of Hashem is most essential for the whole Shemar Esrei. That type of kavanah.
There's no shout of brachos about Torah and all this stuff. So you didn't do anything, is that it?
What was that?
There's no shout of the brachos about Torah. You didn't say anything.
What do you mean?
Repeating all those brachos. Let's say you didn't have a mind. Let's say you're staying in front of Hashem.
Right, your first brachos was about Torah. Right, you didn't have it. For the time, you didn't have it. But right. you said brachos about Torah. The first time around with brachos about Torah.
I'm saying the first brachos about
Torah. What about Torah? What about Torah?
But there weren't many brachos about Torah.
You said you
purposely make them about Torah.
And you weren't focusing in front of Hashem.
Is this similar to what Chazor HaShat says that people don't focus? Is that similar to that? What happens if the Chazor HaShat says Shmoneh Esrei? It's really connected to this, right? Chazor HaShat says Shmoneh Esrei. Annoying people don't answer, or they don't have kavanah. They do you a big favor, they say amen, but they certainly don't have, a lot of people don't have kavanah. You know what I'm trying to say? So what does that mean?
Hopefully the guy, at least the guy who is saying has kavanah.
Now the question is, he's not saying it for himself. He's saying it for the rest of the people.
If you have a bucky, ate a bucky there, someone did not learn it, so you see mostly that guy. But today, why are we saying Chazaras HaShatz today in the shul? Because once they made the takana, there's a whole discussion about that. Once they made the takana to repeat the Shemar Esrei for a person who doesn't know, even if you're davening in a yeshiva where everyone knows, the takana remains. It's the whole thing, that's the whole question regarding Friday night Kiddush. They originally made takana, which you make Kiddush in shul Friday night, for the guests that come to town and that would eat by the shul, in the side room, wherever they would eat. So that's the whole question. Do we keep that takana of Friday night? Do we still make Kiddush in shul when there's no guests? Just like, do we compare it to Chazaras HaShatz? That we say Chazaras HaShatz, repeat Shemar Esrei, even though the original takana for repeating Shemar Esrei was for the first don't read, but if we say we still recite the repeat Shemar Esrei, even when the people could read, everyone could read, so do we look at Friday night Kiddush like that or not? So that's
not the question that I
know, but I just wanted to bring out that point.
I'm having some about why we say Kiddush. Right.
So, yes, you want to add something, Yitzhak?
Robert,
yes.
In earlier the shirim, I think we discussed, this was to which is Kavana, when we mentioned that. I thought that that meant that we decided, or a basic part of that was to have in mind to be fulfilling in this term. And it sounds like, of all the things we've mentioned so far for tefillah, that they could all be all the requirements we've mentioned so far could be met without having any intention at all to fulfill a mitzvah of the Torah. You know, davening in front of Hashem could be done without just for that sake alone, without there being any sense that a person is fulfilling an obligation written in the Torah. It should be davening before Hashem. Hashem created everything. And the other parish of milas also. It's just parish of milas without and not being done. Neither of those things necessarily could have to be done to fulfill a mitzvah of the Torah. And I thought that was a basic requirement of mitzvah cerebus.
Very good. So what Yitzhak is saying is that there's another idea of kavana. There's the idea of mitzvah shvitas kavana, to know that you're doing a mitzvah. That we say you have to have kavana. When you're having kavana, when you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing it because it's a mitzvah, because God has commanded me to do this, right? And Yitzhak is saying that we don't see that here.
This is a conclusion I keep rather conclusion I think we reached in our shir.
Of what mitzvah? How do we translate mitzvah kavana? You have to know that you have to have in mind you're fulfilling a mitzvah.
Yes, right.
So it should, according to the Rambam, that the Rambam says prayer is biblical, so you need to have in mind, like any other time, there's a biblical obligation that you have in mind you're doing this for the Hashem mitzvah with kavanah, to do it for the mitzvah that Hashem has commanded us. And you see, if you don't know you're in front of Hashem, when you're davening, you might be missing out on the mitzvah kavanah aspect. Also, what you're touching on indirectly, if you don't know that you're davening in front of Hashem, you're davening and you don't know that you're davening, you're not focused that you're standing in front of Hashem. So, you're saying maybe you still have a mind to fulfill the mitzvah without knowing that. So, Rav Chaim also gets into the idea of mitzvah kavanah. But the way we translate mitzvah kavanah, which means you just have to know that you're doing a mitzvah. We have to see how he understands mitzvah kavanah. But
isn't it true by Krishna that you should have in mind that
you're fulfilling the mitzvah Krishna, right? That's the famous Gemara.
Right.
The Mishnah says,
Hayikori by Torah,
the Yizman, you're reading, you were practicing laning, came the time to read Shema. So the Mishnah says, if you had a mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema, that's how some interpret the Mishnah, you have to have in mind you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. If you just read it like practicing laning, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says, Shema minah, mitzvah, svichas kavana. That's what the Gemara first suggested, and the Gemara tries to push away that proof. But we hold that mitzvah needs kavana, so we see it means the kavana to know that you're doing this mitzvah. Yes, that God has commanded us.
Rabbi Friedman just said, it sounds like that that's a whole separate ball of wax.
Right, that's what it would seem like. It's a whole separate, exactly. The idea of knowing that you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem has commanded. I have a mind of doing a mitzvah. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to have a mind you're doing this mitzvah. Every time you go ahead, you put on tefillin, you have a mind, I'm doing a mitzvah Hashem has commanded me to do. Say Shema, Hashem has commanded me to do the Shema. I'm not just saying Shema because I'm reading, I'm practicing, when I want to practice my reading skills, so I'm reading the Shema. And now, Rabbi,
I was practicing my reading skills and I read the Shema. Do I have to repeat, do I have to repeat the Shema? Or do I get, that's good enough? So we say, Mrs. Nitz Kavana, that's not good enough. You're just practicing. You weren't doing it because Hashem commanded you to read the Shema. You're practicing your reading skills. Your professor gave you that assignment to read that chapter. And you read that chapter, but not with any intent of the mitzvah. You got to redo it again. That would be the mitzvah kavana. So I think this Reb Chaim is a very interesting idea how he understands. And I think we need to take it for ourselves that when we're davening, we have to focus on the language of the Rambam says. And that this idea of knowing that you're in front of Hashem, you can't be. The Rambam says, "What's called kavana? You have to turn your heart from all machshavos, from all other thoughts. Your mind has to be clear, and you have to see yourself as if you're standing in front of the Shekhinah." Now, I would think that that's maybe a little bit what the Hasidim HaRishonim did. They waited an hour before prayer. What were they doing an hour before davening? An hour before davening, they daven for an hour, the hour after davening. What were they doing an hour before davening?
They were getting themselves ready to daven.
What were they doing? They were clearing their mind.
Right.
Getting their everything else is out. Mm-hmm. And now I'm only my focus is only going to be on the davening. I'm what I'm going about to do. So obviously, like Avi said before, if people would daven slower, people would come earlier to shul. This is something that the Yetzer Hara is very successful. If you notice that, obviously different people have different reasons why they might come late to shul, but some reason somehow. You know, the whole Jewish community doesn't have a perfect record coming on time for shul. Except maybe the Yankees. And maybe because the Yetzer Hara puts obstacles. The question is, we need people, it's something that everyone needs chizuk in coming earlier to shul. If you come earlier to shul, then you can focus your mind. Clear your mind, clear your head. You can wash your hands properly. You're supposed to wash your hands before you daven. You're supposed to best to go to the bathroom before you daven. The Rambam says wash your mouth and wash your face before you daven. The Rambam says you're supposed to wash your feet also. Hands and feet, we don't wash our feet. The Rambam says you're supposed to wash your feet. I think someone, I say the third thing we want to say because it's just like the Kohanim. They had to wash their hands and their feet. On the Kiyo before they did the Avodah. We're like doing an Avodah. So, if we do the prep, how does the doctor come in before he comes to do an operation? He has a very intense thing to do. He prepares himself. He washes himself good. He gets himself ready. A lot of the preparation, prepping for the op. So when we have something important to do, we have to give the time and preparation in to be successful. So that's really, at that point, therefore I'm going to try to stop now. Not this is the reason why I'm stopping. Anybody who didn't have a ma'ariv yet, you'll have time to do whatever you need to get ready, to focus your mind, focus your attention, to get the proper siddur.
Chassidim HaRishonim.
The aim of Chassidim HaRishonim. I want to wish everybody a good night.